Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. You're very welcome to this podcast on NarcCon with myself and Remy on a wet Saturday afternoon. So this podcast is going to centre around the signs and traits of a narcissist. And the reason I'm covering this at the moment is because on two fronts, there's a lot of people that have come out of a very awful relationship with a narcissist and are very reluctant to go back into another close relationship of the intimate sort, and also nervous going into work situations and nervous of people that approach them to be friends. And it's okay to be hypervigilant, you know, when you've come out of one of these relationships, it's a good idea. But we also need to gradually begin to trust other people again, because it is the human condition. We need each other, we need love, and we need to be able to trust. So what I'm going to try and cover here is the signs and traits of a narcissist when you initially meet somebody, in as best I can. And the second, it may go into two parts because I can be a bit long-winded. Sorry about that, but I like to cover things in detail. We may go into a second part too for the traits of a person in a relationship with you, like how a narcissist displays, what traits they display in a relationship with you. Because on the other side of the coin, there's a lot of people in relationships that they're finding very problematic and toxic, but don't want to leave until they're fairly sure, with as much assurance as possible, without this person going to be diagnosed formally by a clinician, that the person is in all probability a narcissist. And at that point, when they're fairly sure that there is no hope for the relationship succeeding and the outcome is only going to be further damage to themselves and their own lives, they're able then to make a decision to walk away and recover themselves and their lives going forward. So it is a very pertinent subject. And before I get into it, I'm going to say to you at the end of the podcast, I'm going to do a little bit of chat just about what we're doing on the healing journey and what we did today for anyone that's interested in the community. I know some of you have been here for quite a long time. We're kind of getting to know each other at this stage, you know, in the comments and whatever. And the last thing I'll say, can you consider subscribing if you like the content? I'm a very bad YouTuber because I always forget to say that. So now I've said it, I've done my job. So let's get into the video. Okay, so I've got, I think, a list of, well, would you believe, 14 things you can look for when you initially meet somebody and you feel there's a potential for a relationship or a friendship or a work situation. Now, a lot of these things that I've listed here, normal people can also, you know, display. But it's if you have an over accumulation of all of these points, then it's an indicator that the person might be a narcissist, and to take your time with that person. And in any case, taking your time is a good idea. Narcissists do not like you to take your time. If they've made a decision that you're the one for them, they will go hell for leather, you know, to get you involved before you have time to think logically about what you're doing. So the first one, I don't think most people or most podcasts cover this, but to me, it's a big one. That's your abdominal gut reaction to a new person that you meet. And I would say to you, if you feel an over excitement at, particularly in the intimate setting, at meeting this person, or if they come into a room and everything changes for you, It can be, on the one hand, chemistry. So it can be, you know, healthy. But if it's very high excitement and that type of wow, wow chemistry, perhaps it's more of an infatuation. And infatuations can lead you into trouble. So if this person makes you feel very different and unrelaxed and on alert, that's one possible indicator that the person either has charisma or is a narcissist. So bear that in mind. Your true gut reaction before your brain takes over and tells you, oh, don't be silly, that's just your imagination. Listen to your gut. It's the oldest brain you have, and it is instinctive, and it can instinctively tell you that perhaps there's something wrong with this person, or this person is not the norm. So listen to it. Number two, if the person is over shy or over loud, over quiet or over loud, or very effusive, you know, very, very enthusiastic about everything, about you and conversation and whatever. And if they come across as really, really nice. And this is, you know, people will say, well, this is crazy. It's great if a person comes across as really, really nice. But I find with narcissists, some of them can be either really huggy and lovey and everything is wonderful, or they can be, I'm really shy, but I'm a really nice person. I'm a really nice person. And, you know, you've nothing to fear from me. And I'm just here. So I know that's probably not a great impression of the shy narcissist, but to me, that's just a kind of a little indicator from the shy, humble, vulnerable narcissists that I have met. If they're overdoing the act, think about that one. Number three, for a sign of an initial sign of a narcissist, is boundary breaking. And you may say, well, Paula, what is boundary breaking as such when you just initially meet somebody? And I have found this, I don't know, if you go into a store and somebody encroaches on your personal space. We all kind of have an inbuilt, I think, instinctual space that we need around us. And if, for instance, you say you're in a big store and there's four people in the store and there's tons of room between, you know, that one person can stand down that end, you know, 20 metres apart nearly. And a person, you're looking at a shelf and the person comes right up close to you. That's what I mean about boundary breaking. And now I know that can go hand in hand also with different conditions that people have. So again, it's the cumulative, you know, of all of these points together that I would say can indicate the possibility of a narcissist. So there are people that just don't have spatial boundaries for whatever reason or whatever is going on with them. But narcissists will invade your space, and they will also talk over you. They will also, I'll tell you this one now in a minute. They'll also ask you questions that a stranger really...
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It wouldn't be appropriate for a stranger to ask you. And they may do it in the vein of, hey, I'm just a direct person, you know, I'm just open and direct. And if you want to answer, answer. But I'm just saying, observe that that is a kind of a way to break through the norm, break through the normal boundaries that we have of safety, and actually allowing somebody in ourselves at our own pace that we're comfortable with, not someone coming, smashing through your gate and opening it up and saying, I'm here, accept me, you know, I broke your boundary, but look, you needed it breaking. No. whatever you're comfortable with, observe if somebody trespasses your comfortable space. Now, another thing I would notice is if you feel that they're kind of targeting you, you know, you're one of many, say, in a room or you're in a store, and this person seems on your case. I know I've felt that, and leave in the comments if you have. Well, I give you one particular instance, and this has to do with my co-producer, our co-producer, Remy. And I don't know if I've said this in the podcast before, but I was quite amused. And I said, I have to use that as an example in one of the podcasts. But I was in a thrift store and Remy was tied up outside the door where I could see him in full view. It was only a little store. And we were on our walk and he was having a little rest. And the sun was out, but the sun is... say in October in Ireland, it is definitely not warm. Definitely not warm. This is a, you know, on this climate. So he was having a little rest. It was late afternoon. And I was in the store. And this woman who was a volunteer in the thrift store, I saw her going out with a bowl of water. And then she came back in and she said, she knew that he was with me. I know that she knew that because she said it near me. And she said, oh, I wonder who owns that dog. I brought him out some water because I think he's going to be very hot out there all on his own. Good God, he's going. The passive aggressiveness of that person and the invasion. Look, it was a really nice thing to do to bring Remy out water. And I was grateful to her for bringing out water. But it was the act itself. The person required attention for the act. And there was an implication that he shouldn't have been left out there without water while that was not the case. So I just said, I'm with him and he's grand, you know, and I was chuckling. And then she started off a big loud conversation about lots of different things in relation to dogs, etc. And I went on my way. So I'm just saying that intrusive, you know, a kind act, but it was built, the kind act was used for her to gain attention and to imply that she was superior and she knew that this wasn't right to kind of devalue somebody else or to put somebody else down. So that kind of thing can kind of, that made me go, ooh, this is very strange. And, you know, that type of behavior, all my instincts were, ooh, don't go near this person, possible narcissist. So maybe that's being hypervigilant, but the passive aggressive nature of a stranger interfering with what you're doing always sets alarm bells off for me. And luckily I wasn't had any intention of getting into a relationship with her, but I'm just saying as an encounter out in public, sometimes a situation can be a little bit off. And that always, as again, sets my alarm bells going. So number four, if you meet a person and they're oversharing their own story with you and they also invite you to deeply share your story with them. Narcissists use this fake oversharing with you to gain your trust so that you may do the same with them. And what they're telling you is not actually a lot of the time the truth, but they are looking for you to feel, oh, well, if they told me all these very private, intimate details, I'm okay to tell them my intimate, private details. And of course, as we know, this information gathered at the beginning of a relationship will definitely be used against you at the end. So watch out for that one. Okay, signs of a person being a possible narcissist when you meet them. Speed. As we've mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, narcissists, once they've decided that they want you and they want to get to know you and they want you in the relationship with them, or they want to hook on to you in a work situation or whatever the situation is that's going to benefit them, speed is of the essence. It's like they have to do the buy-in, the initial buy-in, but they want to get that over as quickly as possible so that you're secured and under control so that they can harvest you and your services and the narcissistic supply that they see available in you. So speed, and with the speed, intensity. So for instance, a person will text you and will build up incrementally quite quickly to texting you maybe two or three times a day, or at least in the morning and the evening, so that they are always in your mind and on your mind, and you don't actually have time to sit back and think, am I really interested in this person? You find yourself nearly falling into a relationship with a narcissist some of the time, because their persistence builds trust in us again. You think, they're really into me. I have nothing to worry about. You know, they give me a feeling of real security. They're really demonstrating that, God, they can't get enough of me. And, it leads you down a false path of security. And literally what they're doing is bringing you under control so that you become dependent on that attention. You become dependent on their validation, and you become dependent on them being there, even though you didn't want it in the first place. So watch out for that. Number six is, and again, this isolated does not mean that the person's a narcissist, but narcissists can often have a big social media presence in that they have a lot of followers, that they have invited a lot of people to be their friends. Like, you might have 600 or 700 people on their Facebook, and they're not even, you know, doing a blog or a podcast or whatever. Why or how in earth's name could you have that many people? But again, some people like that. Some people are very social media orientated. So it is not necessarily the sign of a narcissist. But definitely, when people are a supply source, the more people you have available to view, the more of a selection you have, and the more comfortable you can be, and the more accumulative you can be in having various people lined up as potential sources of supply. On the other hand, some narcissists will just have a presence on Facebook, but never post anything really personal, but use the presence there for whatever they need, whatever point they need to make at a given time. Like, for instance, if it's in the smear campaign or whatever, they will put a post up that only you will understand the meaning of, a kind of a dog whistling post. So just look for anything that you go, oh, they're on social media, but they don't really use it. Or, wow, that's a lot of people following them, and they don't have a channel, or they don't, you know, it's not a business, it's just a personal account. All these things together. The other thing is, and again, for businesses, some people have multiple cell phones, and you know that that can be genuine. They have a family cell phone, a burner phone, and a business phone. I would just kind of go, okay, I've clocked that. They have a lot of phones. That's okay. Number seven, multiple partner history. And I suppose, like, if you do get, you know, to middle age and beyond, you are going to have in your life possibly multiple relationships, past relationships. I suppose this may be more telling if a person is in their 30s or 40s and the person they meet has been married three times. But again, later in life, if the person has had four or five marriages, it's a possible sign that the person may be a narcissist. It's also a possible sign that the person may attract narcissists, but that amount of times getting married, while it can be genuine, is a kind of a little red flag until it's put to bed and you really get to know the person and you've had a very good reciprocal relationship with them, in my opinion. Eight, my family doesn't speak to me. I'm alienated from my family. I have a very bad relationship with my family. And again, we can have people very genuine who have a very narcissistic, toxic family and they've chosen to stay away from them. It's just one of those things that it's oftentimes with narcissists, they will tell you about problematic relationships in their family or that they don't speak to their family or that they don't speak to this friend and that friend. And they have about 10 people they don't speak to. That is indicative, certainly, of a problematic relationship style, for want of a more general term. I see the co-producer is trying to add a little to the podcast in the background for anyone that's not on video. Anyway, I digress. Number 9, a sign that the person may possibly be a narcissist is an addiction issue. A lot of narcissists, because they don't take accountability, will often have addictions. A lot of normal people can have addictions also, but it's just another indicator of a possible narcissist. Number 10. Now, this is an interesting one. If you want to do a little test, and again, in the initial stages of meeting someone, a narcissist, if they're very, very keen to get in and get you under control and have you as a source of supply, they'll be very, very careful to present to you a very authentic mask. But sometimes, if you do test the narcissism, it can't keep the mask up. You might see a split second where the mask comes off. This can happen if you critique, even in a very nice way, a decision they make, or critique why would they do that, or why would they take that action, or did they think that it was a mistake, you know, to leave that job? They will not like that. They will feel it is a form of attack because they're never wrong. And who are you to give your opinion about something that they have done? So even though they have you on a pedestal in the early days, they will not want to take you off the pedestal. They will not like that. So I would, even if the words that come out are very calm and measured, watch the facial expression with criticism, slightly implied criticism even, because that is one thing that narcissists kind of go zizzy with. They do not like anybody criticizing them because of their superior shield, their superior mask. That's the mask is set up there so that no one gets to criticize them. No one gets to control them. They are omnipotent. They are godlike and they know everything. So that's a little test you can do. Certainly, you know, if you do that more than once, watch the facial expression. Number 11, saying no to a request of theirs politely, you know, not acquiescing. Like, for instance, supposing you've been in the relationship with them a month and they feel they've made progress with you in that, you know, you're all, yeah, great, you know, this is fantastic. And it's all looking rosy in the garden. And they suggest something and expect you to go, yeah, that'd be great. And you say, no, I can't do that today. Again, look at the facial expression. And if you say it more than once and they blow a hissy fit and say, you're not very cooperative, are you? Or, you know, what's your problem with that? If they come back at you with an overreaction, so to speak, you know, where a normal person would say, oh, sure, that's no problem. Sure, do you want to try and do it another time? But if they kind of come back with a bit of aggression in it or a bit of devaluing, well, why are you doing that kind of thing? Possible narcissist. Gosh, number 12. Do they talk about other people in general negatively? So have they a lot of bad things to say about a lot of people that they let slip? Instead of being positive, they tend to look for the bad always in people and speak about past relationships in a bad way. Now, some of them are clever enough to kind of cover it up and say, I know I had this myself, you know, say, oh, I have to take some responsibility for it after laying down all the problems in the past relationship, which was a real, really puts you off track because you say, oh, that person's taking accountability. So they will definitely throw you off track if they want, if they know that those things are important to you, that you have integrity, that you have a very balanced view of life. If they've picked these things up, they're going to mirror those traits in you. So the words won't match how they actually feel. But again, if they are increasingly negative about other people, it's not good anyway. It's not great to be around someone who's always negative about everyone. So a possible trait of a narcissist or a sign of a narcissist. Number 13, if they're not financially sound. If you're in a better financial position than them and they're interested in you, I'd really be careful of my finances. I know there are genuine people who actually get ripped off by narcissists and find themselves in a very bad position. But if you're okay and you've worked hard for what you have and a person comes along that is not in the same position, in fact, is in a debt position, I know you don't want to look at things like that. You just want to love the person. But you have to protect yourself because there are narcissists out there. So that's using discernment. That's not being a horrible person. That's not saying I only love people that have money or I'm a narcissist. It means you're protecting yourself because these people walk amongst us. So be aware that it's a possibility that a narcissist may target you. Number 14. This kind of segues into, and I'm going to do a part two because this podcast is long. This segues into the traits of a narcissist. So we will cover that in the next podcast in relation to you're in a relationship with a narcissist. They have you hooked and under control and you've been with them a number of years. What are the traits of your partner in a relationship or in a workplace or a friend or family? But generally we take it from the intimate setting because it is more condensed and intense and obvious in that setting, the traits of a narcissist, all of them together working to control their partner. So this segues into that. It's number 14. The narcissist will tell you who you are and tell you what you like. And that can be as simple as, oh, I know you like this. You know, you love this particular food. Or I know you like this. I know how you are about these things. And you're kind of going, do you? I don't like that. But you're kind of going, oh, OK, right. Yeah, fine. You know. This person wants you to try something, you kind of feel. But they actually repeat this quite a bit. And they say, they may even talk about you in the third person and say, well, Paula can be quite short-tempered at times, you know. She'll say, they'll say this to a new person that you meet and kind of laugh and say, oh, it's funny. You know, it's funny. And you're kind of going, yeah, pretty patient, like. So they're actually telling other people who you are as well, and by default, giving you the impression that's actually how they see you. So it's a gaslighting and it's a controlling and grooming process, but it's a gaslighting process that initially you may go, that's not right. But sometimes people go along with it and say, oh, well, that must be what they think of me, you know, so that's their opinion. And okay, that's their opinion. But it is actually quite a dangerous ploy because it is spreading an impression of you that isn't true to other people. And it's feeding back to you that perhaps that's who you are. So be careful of that one, because none of these things happen in isolation. All of a narcissist's grooming and brainwashing and manipulation and enmeshment with you all operate in tandem with each other. So you'd say, well, for goodness sake, like if somebody said that to you, Paula, would you not kind of go, well, actually, that's not me, and get quite offended by it? But you see, there's been other manipulations done prior to this, and you're not as offended as you would be if this had happened in isolation. So, without further ado, that's it for the signs of a narcissist in the initial stages. And please leave comments if you have other signs, because there are so many other signs that need to be included. But they're the main ones that I see when I would be observing people out in public, or anyone that would be coming closer to me. They're the things I would look for. And again, the gut instinct is one of the main things. And now, for anyone that has stayed with us to this length in the podcast, Remy, today our activities in relation to healing were this great thing we found in our local town, and I think it's becoming more popular. Have you heard of saunas where they have ice baths outside? So you go into the sauna and you stay there for about 10 minutes until you get really warm, and then you go out and you dip. There's baths of different temperatures, but if you really want to go for it, like the Wim Hof, you know, multiple health benefits of going from hot to cold. You sit in the ice bath or the ice barrel for about a minute or two if you can cope with it, and then you go back into the sauna and you go out two or three times. Well, guys, I have to say I have found it absolutely wonderful doing that. And again, if you can find something new that's going to make you feel good, push yourself to do it, to try new things on your healing journey. There's so many things you can do to heal, and I'm currently writing a book about that. And if anyone doesn't know, there's a book out already called Weaponized Love, which gives you the traits of a narcissist, actually, and all the signs of what a narcissist does in a relationship. But the next book is going to concentrate on after the narcissist, the healing stage. This is one thing you can do in relation to personal care and pushing boundaries and redefining yourself as a person and trying new things and taking authority over yourself. So that's just one a hint of a thing. That's what I did today. The weather is absolutely awful here. It's been raining, lashing rain all day. And I brought Remy for a walk after that. And then we decided we'd make the podcast. And then we go out to the shops and get something for dinner. And the fire is going, and we're going to have a nice evening after meeting friends today, actually in the sauna as well. So I wish you a very good Saturday, a very good weekend. And if there's anything you can look up in your area that you'd like to try and you feel a little bit fearful about doing it, try it and let us know how you get on in the next podcast if you did it. That's it for now. You take very good care of yourselves, and we will see you again very soon for another chat. Bye for now.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.